help tonight. Well, what we're going to talk about is that know what to do when adversity knocks. Anybody ever had adversity? Amen. A little trial for 2 days or a month or even longer than that. We have all kinds of situations in our lives that don't go away right away. You ever notice that? It doesn't always go away. But because the devil loves you so much, he'll pour it on. He does. But you're not, you don't want to love, send you that kind of love. So I'm just waiting to get online. That's why I'm trying to help myself here. Sometimes these don't work as quick for some reason. See? Okay, I should be on. I guess. Okay. When it works, everything's good. Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand up one more time. We got to start over. Praise the Lord. Joanne, you're going to help me in faith. I'm sorry. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for He's the teacher and our guide. We thank you, Lord, for all the Bible school students that have been learning. And we, just by reading their papers, we know they've learned something this term. And all the books they've read and all the answers they gave. Thank you for the exercises they've done and those people in this room that have exercised themselves in doing the Word of God. Thank you that by your Spirit tonight, you're going to help us to see and grasp those things that we need to get a hold of tonight. That's going to be so crucial in the next few days about what's going to happen, because you, by your Holy Spirit, you know what's coming next. Thank you. We know that the devil has plans, but we know you have a good plan for us, an awesome plan, plan to win every battle. Plan to be healed. Plan to be blessed. Plan to be a blessing. You know where we're going to go? You know what we're going to say? What we got to say? In the name of Jesus, we're not going to worry about it. But when the time comes, we know exactly what to say. The right time with the right people. We praise you because you are doing it. And we thank you in advance. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. What to do when you don't know what to do? You ever been there? You got to do something, but you don't know what to do. Glory to God. I don't have that on my notes there, Cindy, but who's back there? Anyway, I can't see. Chrissy. I thought Cindy was back there. It's Chrissy. That's you, Chrissy. But there's times when you don't know what to do. You ever been there? You know you have to pray sometimes, but you don't know what to pray. You don't know how to pray. You don't even know how to get the intensity that you need. My Lord. Huh? You have to get some things going. Like, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been having a lot of trouble. Have you been having a lot of trouble? Couldn't find my book. That's just a small trouble. You know, I went to the hospital today and went to the regional hospital and went to the other hospital. Can't even find rooms. But there's people that are sick, you know, very sick, and they want Pastor Roma to pray. I'm delighted, but you can't be everywhere at the same time. Everybody wants 5 minutes. or 20 minutes. You ever get people, you guys ever get 25 people asking you for 5 minutes? On the phone, or they want your fax, they want their email, they want you to phone them, they want to come over, lay hands on them. You know, you got all these things going, but that's not talking about your essential thing that you plan for yourself. And that can be overwhelming, especially if you're a people pleaser. It's very stressful if you're a people pleaser. And if you're somebody who gets mad so easily, that's even worse. And you say, why me? And so, but we didn't sign up. I didn't sign up. That's not in my job description. But you know, God will send you places to do things that you never signed up for. And he'll get you to, you know, be interrupted when you don't want to be interrupted. That's what Jesus' life was like. The Bible said he couldn't even eat his hot dog. Right? And he couldn't even go to sleep. He couldn't rest. A lot of times he had to get away, sneak away, get on a boat, and get on the road, and storm comes. My Lord, all kinds of stuff. But that's the way it is. One guy says, please pray for me that I'll never have any more trouble. Remember Brother Hagin? He said, you want me to pray that you die? No, 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 no. That's the only way you'll not have trouble, is that you die and get out of here. And so I thank God for his help. Two things that come to my mind. 2 Chronicles 20, Romans 8. What do you do in adversity? You don't have a scripture verse to run to, and you don't have a prayer. There are things that we need to do. You understand this, that you pray out your situations long before you get there. And you decide every day how you're going to act or react or not react. Every single day. That's a decision that you make every day. And so you don't decide that on a whim and see what happens. You decide right at the moment that you're going to decide exactly what to do when troubles come. And you know how to deal with the devil. You deal with him by faith. And you treat everybody nice. That's what you do. So that's it. We're going to close the meeting now. So, Chrissy, I don't have those in my notes there, but I'm going to go to this because I just sense I have to go 2 Chronicles 20. And we're going to go to a couple more other scriptures. This is Wednesday night, but I'm going to read these scriptures first because they're in my heart right now, and I feel like sometimes people, they're looking for answers. And I believe you're looking for real answers. Something that'll answer your situation here. How many people, how many people here, you have a situation, you don't have a scripture verse on it, you don't know what to do about it, and you don't know how to pray about it. Who's that person? How many of you? Okay. That's including me. There are some things. Now, I don't know how, I don't always have a scripture verse on certain things, but I know how to, you know, find some things. And, you know, like you have an idea how to, there's a need, but you don't know how to pray about it. And so we want to pray. Maybe we'll have time to pray about some things today. And find a solution. Do we really believe the Bible? Yes. I was talking to two pastors today, sat down, two pastors. And when you get into that critical time when it's life and death, you ever been there? It's a life and death matter. Either you or somebody close to you that you love, a part of you is going to die when somebody dies that's close to you, part of you dies with them. You understand that. And you had a few people who've died on you. They're not supposed to die. When you see them, you're going to kill them. I'll kill you if you were to die. Second Chronicles 20. It came to pass also that the children of Moab, I don't know what reserve that is, but it sounds like a horrible place. And the children of Ammon, with the other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Everybody say battle.
Battle.
Now these nations represent the evil plans the enemy sends to you. This is very significant. When you read the Bible here, you don't know, you need to understand what these things mean. At the moment, I don't have time to tell you, but I just want to talk to you about the fact that the devil will send you special messengers just to distract you, to slow you down, or to completely stop you from what God wants you to do. And every one of you has an assignment from God, and some of you are not even on the first phase of your ministry yet. And because you've been scared to follow God, like this couple followed God, they said, we're going to make God our manager. If you haven't done that yet, you're going to have to explain that to Jesus one day, because you will. And I don't care if you got a career or a job, that might not be what you're supposed to do. Some people spend all their years in university and school and never really done what God told them to do in the first place. Because if that was true, I'd be in university teaching full-time, being a full-time professor right now with tenure. Okay? So I understand that. And sometimes you have to leave something comfortable to get where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
And if that was true, Paul never was in God's will, because he was always into some kind of trouble. If you want to live comfortable all the time without any trouble, then you ain't not going to make a good soldier for Jesus. A good family member, copping out all the time on the things of God. They came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now, this represents God's people. Jehoshaphat was God's people, and Jehoshaphat was the leader. So then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there is come with a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. Behold, they are Hazadon, Tamar, which is in Diggi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout Judah. So, he was afraid. When someone's after you and you got something going on there, you're going to be afraid. The first reaction is fear. F-E-A-R. False expectations appearing real, or you're expecting something bad to happen. That's what fear is. You look in the dictionary about what fear is, they said, you're afraid of something. It's going to happen. Or fear, false, evidence appearing real, because what you see might not ever happen, because a lot of things you fear in your mind has been made up there by your own self, or the devil's been feeding you something there, right?
Amen.
Which will never happen. But nevertheless, in your mind is really stupid. It'll tell you to be fearful of things, that your heart starts racing, you start to get anxiety attacks, and then you'll feel like you're Fred Fox or whatever his name is. Remember Red Fox? Honey, I'm coming. Honey, I'm coming. You remember Red Fox? Well, one day he was doing that, and he finally actually died doing that. People thought, oh, yeah, he's just fooling around. Okay. Now you know about Fred Fox or John Fox, whatever it is. Judah gathered themselves together and asked help for the Lord. That's a good thing. Even out of the cities of Judah came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, our God, fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Verse 6. The first thing he did, if you see the same pattern in Acts chapter 4, when they had a problem, they seek God. They begin to say, God, aren't you the same God that did all these miracles? And that's the first thing you tell God whenever you have trouble. God, don't you know, aren't you God here? You're asking him, no. So in fact, what they're doing here is actually admonishing their own selves that, you know, hey, God's God. He's our God. And he said, O Lord God, our Father, are not your God in heaven? Rulest over all the kings of the heaven, and in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Are not thou our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of the land before the people of Israel, and gave us seed of Abraham as thy friend forever? And they dwell, therein, and have built a sanctuary therein for thy name, where we're saying. So he said, isn't this temple your, we build this for your sake, we're in this temple for you, right? Where your name's all. If evil comes upon us, and you know, we don't like evil, as a sword and judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before you, and in thy presence before thy name is this house. We cry unto thee in our affliction, and you will hear us and help us. Now he's praying and reminding themselves, you're rehearsing all this stuff about the fact about who God is to them and what he has assured them. You understand that? So they're praying, and they're praying to God, and because of God's word, they're going to God in prayer in accordance with what God said about who he was to them and what they can expect from him. That's what he's rehearsing. And that's how we should pray. Amen. This is how we approach God. That's why Isaiah said, let us plead our case before God and laying the ground rules, you know, in the court of heaven. Amen. And as a lawyer, you're going before God, and God is, you know, your Holy Spirit is, and Jesus and the Word is your rightful place, your position, your advocate, and you're standing on the Word praying to God. So he said, we cry unto thee in our affliction, and you will hear and help us. You know, 1 John says that when we pray, that because we know God hears us, we have the petitions we've desired. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have. How many of you know that confidence means you have faith? The Bible says, this is the confidence we have in him. Faith is the confidence. Yeah. Hebrews 11, faith is the confidence. You know, that's what it says in the Amplified. It says, faith is the confidence. When you have confidence, you have faith. When you have faith, you trust in something, in someone, because you have confidence in God. You cannot have, if you don't have confidence, then you don't have faith, because you don't have the word. These guys had confidence when they went to God, because they went on God's terms when went to God. Even when changes don't happen right away, you prayed for 10 days, you prayed for 6 months, and nothing changed. But God's word never changes. Amen. You stay the same way. Amen. When you've done all, you stand. Not, let's ask the next guy, I see prayer. Now, let's just put this on Facebook and ask how many people to pray so that we can get sufficient amount of people so God will hear us. If I can get enough people to pray, maybe we can force God's hand and trick him into giving us something. And that's what people think. If I can get so many people to pray, maybe we can break God's hand. You know, I told the guys today, when I was in a Pentecostal church, we used to say, we're going to have prayer tomorrow morning. We're going to bombard the gates of heaven. We don't have to bombard no heaven gates. He says, come on in. Yeah, amen. Doors wide open. Amen? Yeah. Okay, so, and now behold, the children of Ammon, and he's explaining these, he's talking about the enemies. Behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade. God was nice enough to these people not to, you know, for them to destroy them. And he said, you know, this is how these people are treating us. And he says, you would not let Israel to invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Now, these guys are trying to take over something God has given us. You understand the enemy, he's not going to give you what belongs to you, what rightfully belongs to you. He's going to sit where he was, where he's always been, and he's trying to keep that property which belongs to you. And if you don't take it by force from him, he's going to keep it. Whether it's your health or wealth or successes or whatever it is, if you don't push, he's going to just keep it. So our God will now judge them. We have no might against this great company that comes against us. How many people know sometimes you feel like you have no strength or no ability to fight against your adversity, whatever it is, if it's sickness or disease or something's going on in your family, it's been on there for years, it happened to your grandmother, your uncle, your dad, now it's on you. You have the same problem they had. And all those devils that was bugging your family along the line, they come to visit you. And they want to take the property that they always had in your family line. This is called, the Bible talks about, what is that word I'm looking at? Generational, if you want to call it curses, you can call it curses. That's what it is in there, right? It's in there. So we have to stand. But the Bible talks about that people will suffer for their own consequences now. Not because of what my dad did. In Jesus, that stopped. Every curse stopped because of Jesus Christ. So we can just stop that on our own by faith. Now, it's not going to happen automatically. Like Brother Hagin used to say, like ripe trees falling off a tree is so easy. So we have to stand. And these guys were standing. Hey, this property belonged to them, but they didn't just get it. They didn't say, oh, it belongs to you. We're going to move. We built here for 100 years, but you can have it. He's going to stay where he wants to be for a long time. We have no might against this great company, verse 12, that comes against us, neither do we know what to do. So two things. Adversity. They have no might against, naturally, in their own situation, they have no might against fighting against its enemy. No human ability to fight against the sickness or disease. No might or ability to get the money that they need to live right and to pay all their bills and to live comfortably. God wants us to live, not only just meet our needs, but he wants us to have more than enough to enjoy life. Not just a few people going to Florida. That everybody should be able to do that. Who's a Christian? You can do that if you want to because you can do it. 1 Timothy 4, I think 6:17 says that God gives us all things richly to enjoy. One person is excited about it, and that's who says, oh, okay. And that's you. I like how she reacts to it. Okay, so number two. Number one, they don't have no might. You don't have a chance. You don't stand a chance. You're from the res, man. However, how can you actually do anything? A businessman from the res making the kind of money you're making, having the kind of success, you can't make that. I told my staff, we had a staff meeting yesterday. You were part of our staff meeting because they're part of our team. And I said, I find it funny sometimes. I'm a res kid. Live... The way I was living, I said, I find it funny. I'm sitting there in front of the Salem Church talking to all these white people. And I said, I find this very hysterical. I said, you guys, I'm here Sunday morning to talk to you guys. I find it, you listen to me. I just thought it was funny for a second. Because what do I have to give in my own res mind? But unless I had Jesus in me, the God of all ages works in me. And they said that I couldn't do anything, let alone come speak to a church. I had all these oppositions before that's going to stop me. My past told me you can't go that way because you have a divorce in your life. You'll never speak in a church ever. I have my own church. I have my own television ministry. I had a call from a lady from Southern Ontario this morning. She calls in and she said, everybody had left. It was afternoon, I guess. And said, hey, what's, I don't know what the number offer on the television program. I didn't know what it was myself. Pastor Ken wasn't here. I don't know what staff was here. But I said, I don't know what the number is. I can take your number down and I'll phone you back and so forth. They're talking. And you know, we worked it out. She said, you know, by the way, I really enjoying the television programs. I listen to Joyce Meyer and I watch you every time. You know, and I really enjoy you. I'm glad I found you on television. And I said, you know, she told me some good things. I said, would you mind sending me a small 1 minute clip about on your phone so that we can put it on the television because we need more testimony of God helping people. Not that they got a big healing, but I enjoy watching this guy. And they said, oh, well, I'm not a First Nations. I said, that's okay. That's fine. They said, I'm from Markham, Ontario, near Toronto. I said, I really enjoy your programs. I said, oh, that's good. And I had another call, had another lady send me a note from Inlet. What is that Inlet again? Rankin Inlet. She's sending me $50 a month, this woman. And I guess she's Inuit. Sending me $50 a month. She said, my husband is an alcoholic. My kids were alcoholic. I've been in this horrible mess with trying to live right with my husband and my children, drunk all the time. Every day. But I watch your program. I'm getting help from it. Now you got a white lady and an Inuit hearing this program. Praise God. Amen. I mean, and they said I couldn't have a ministry. They said, you can't have a ministry. You're an Indian and an idiot. I was in the bathroom one time having a pee. I was at a conference locally here with some pastors, and the guy says to me, you'll never make it in this city. You will never make it. You're First Nation. You guys quit. Everything you do, you quit. Well, that made me feel so wonderful. You know, and besides that, he said to me, you're a divorcee. You know, and people remember your past, right? They judge everything. I told my class today, I said, you know what? Your 45 years of past failure doesn't have to be the dictation of your future. Just because the way you lived last 45 years, you had a lot of failure, it doesn't have to be the picture of your future. It doesn't have to decide your future. Huh? That's good. That'll preach. Woo-hoo-hoo! and you know, they say you can't have television ministry in the north. You're in the north, Roma. Who's going to support you? And I believed them, too, right away. I said, yeah, that's true. But I have faithful partners. Yeah. I have faithful partners that support me. There's people in here that are my partners. They stick with me, and they're doing something for our city, for our nation. Thank God. And the devil, he wants nothing but take Roma Fisher off the television and kill me and destroy my family and destroy this ministry, destroy my credibility. He wants to destroy my credibility as a pastor, as a you know. That devil's crazy. Amen. He is. He's just really crazy. He said, you know that guy, that Pastor Robert, he's a son of God. He's one of God's children.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Secondly, you have no strength in your own self to solve the problem you have right now. You're in a good place. Secondly, Not only don't you don't have strength, according to the scripture, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do about it. You tried everything. If you actually knew what to do about it, you'd already have it made. But you don't know what to do. And that's what exactly what they said. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? Verse 12. We have no might against this great company. Not company, but great company. That comes against us. This is adversity. When something's coming against you, you don't know what to do. He says, neither we know what to do. Number one. Number two, we don't have any strength, and we don't know what to do, number two. But number three is our answer. He said, but our eyes are upon you. Our help is from God. You know, I went to pray for a guy today. I don't know how we work it, but I couldn't understand him. He didn't understand me. People send me to people, hi, I'm Roma. Oh. Well, he was excited. So Pastor Ken came with me, and Pastor Ken grabbed that guy's leg. He didn't move. I said, okay, just leave him. And we talked to him, and he just kind of just resting. So this guy has a stroke, but he can move around. So I prayed for him before through his wife. We took a cloth, and I believe that's just why he's moving around. Okay? And so God honors that.
Yes.
And so we talked to him for a little bit, and we ministered to him and believed God, and you know, he'll get out of it and so forth and so on. And there's another person who had some kind of rare, something happened to her body, and she, in her limbs and her legs. She's got some kind of virus that attacked the physical body, and it was blisters, and just inside the body, there was a magnitude of a virus that was attacking that body and just rotting it from the inside out by some kind of, and so she was being pumped by that. So I walked into there. They said she was in isolation, so I was afraid of going in there, first of all. I said, should I wear anything protective? Well, we can't be stupid, right?
Yeah.
I said, well, you know, Paul, a viper bit him. Well, I'm going to put some gloves on here. And that apron. And I'm going to spray myself. Put some hairspray on or something, yeah? Anyway, I walked in there, she jumps up. Oh, I watched you on television today.
Wow.
And I knew I was in the right place. Yeah. So I said, I come back, we pray for you. I said, the nurse said I only can stay here for a second, but I'll be right back. This is just a commercial. I'll be right back. So the nurse comes in, you know, did whatever she has to do and had her, she's setting up when we got there. So she's so happy. And so I need you to go and see her, okay? So I pray a prayer for her, just help her out. So I gave her a couple of books. I had a stack of books. Oh, I just have a stack of books in my ear. I had a stack of books in there, so I gave her a couple of books. So two things. Number one, you have no might. Two, you don't know what to do. Three, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Keeping your eyes on Jesus means that you're going to look at the Word.
Yeah.
You know, He's the author and finisher of our faith.
Yeah.
He's going to help you. Now go to Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry we didn't get all your stuff. I didn't go to those scriptures. But I'll just talk about them anyway. Romans 8. You got Romans 8?
Yeah.
When you got Romans 8, say, I have it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. Wait a minute. Romans 8. Let's go to verse 25. But if we hope for what we see not, then we with patience wait for it. You know, hope, as we talked about hope, supernatural hope is that knowing that you got something, but it's not manifested yet. It's not like maybe. I have it, but it's not manifested yet. It's coming any moment right now. Right? That's what it is. Like, woo-hoo-hoo, I'm happy. I see Jimmy doing that once in a while around here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. The Bible said that Jesus, Matthew 8:17, that Jesus died for our infirmities. And the Bible said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You know, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You ought to pray, but you don't know how to pray about it. But the Spirit himself or itself makes intercession for us. How does he do it? He does it with groanings. That word groanings is the word speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues, that's the word groanings. Because you don't know how to pray for it. If you knew how to pray for it, you would pray out of your mind and you would be satisfied. You say, I got it. Woo! Woo! And you'd be happy because you got it. But since you don't have it, you don't know what to do. But the Holy Spirit does. And when you pray in tongues by faith, like the Bible teaches us, then he takes your innermost core of your spirit, man, and he prays that supernatural language that he gave you. It's not Ojibwe. Okay. Gave it as supernatural language to pray. It's not French either, Mr. Goulet. And he prays out of you the will of God. He said, God, I don't know how to pray for this. I don't know how to pray for my child. God! So you sound like that? When you're a kid, my brother used to do that. You know, my older brother would smoke, and he was a little kid. He'd be addicted to cigarettes at 7 years old. My brother John, he's dead now, didn't die of smoking, but he was addicted to smoking right from the get go. And at 8 years old, right, Ed? 8 years old, he's just smoking a cigarette, like fully grown man. Old man. My brother would take that cigarette and he said, give me your butt. And my brother said, I'm not giving you that butt. He stamps it like this. I'm not giving you that butt. He goes, throws himself on the ground, goes, and that's what we do when we don't get our way with God. That's what the Lord told me the other day. So I thought I'd pass it on to you. So, he'll give you things to pray about, but you'll have to pray it in the Spirit. Because your mind doesn't know anything how to do it. You don't know anything. This is supernatural. And you're going to pray this out by faith. We don't have time to teach that, but you have to be able to understand to do this by faith. Glory to God. Sometimes Ernie calls me and I pray with him. He's a prayer partner. If I have something that I need, I call Ernie. I should be calling you. But Ernie took your place. He's not as good looking as you. Ernie. He said, with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, this language is so deep and rich that you cannot articulate it in human speech. It's not your regular, normal language that you pray to God. Oh, God, I need sugar. You understand that. But if you pray, Lord, I'm praying for this. Oh, shikile masata. And you're praying in tongues by faith. You got to do that by faith. You can't just say, what did I say here, Lord? You know, you got to be able to pray that by faith. It's faith. You know, building up your faith, most Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost, it says. Praying in the Holy Ghost is praying in tongues. Because the Bible interprets itself. The Bible says that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the spirit, when he speaks the tongue, he's speaking in the spirit. In the spirit, he speaks mysteries or divine secrets, the hidden truth not obvious to our senses. Mm-hmm. That's good, right?
Amen.
So we have to have faith in that, see? But your human self is not going to believe that. Your mind is not going to believe it. Your emotions are not going to believe that's true. That's why we're taught in Bible school about spirit, soul, and body. Brother Hagin said, if you don't understand spirit, soul, and body, you're not going to make it and walk it by faith. Because your soul, which runs the whole of your life, will make you want to quit. Because your mind, that's why we said, but our mind's on you. Our focus is on you, Lord. I don't know what to do. We don't have no strength, but our eyes are on you. And when you have deep troubles that don't go away day after day, day after day, and the devil, he's there taunting you every day, trying to tell you that he's going to end your life and ruin your career and ruin your health and take away everything that's meaningful in your life and purpose in your life, to steal away everything. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He don't play no games. And we are in the battle. I told our staff today, he said, you know, if you want to be in the ministry, you know, don't think you're ever going to get out of this easily. Jesus told his disciples, listen, if I got this trouble, if they're attacking me out there, they're going to attack you as well. We call the fight of faith. You know what the fight of faith is? The fight of faith is not you fighting devils. The fight of faith is you fighting with your own soul. Fighting with your own mind and fighting with your own feelings, and begin to confess a good word of confession when everything is wrong in your life. Amen. You want to say bad, I'm not going to make it. We're going to die. We're going under. Why does this always happen to me? That's a faith fight. You're in a faith fight right there. You're talking to yourself, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. Oh, this always happens to me. Why does this always happen to me? God, where are you? You're in a faith fight. That's a faith fight. Because the battle is already done. If you don't understand spirit, soul, and body, and understand, okay, that's my soul talking to me now. Okay, shut up, soul. I'll bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Why are you cast down, though, my soul? Why am I feeling this? You have to ask yourself when you're in trouble. So why am I feeling this? Okay, yeah, I got wrong focus. I'm thinking about the problem all the time. It's getting bigger, and I got to look back at God. He said he's sufficient. Is that easy or hard? It's hard. But you better get used to working at this. If you want to win the battle of faith fight, if you want to keep it going, in the right direction, we have to learn to fight this way. Learn to fight. Fight back. Because he comes and the devil will talk to you in inopportune times, and he'd say, you know, this, I know you got healed last time. I know they saved you last time with that bill that you had, but this time you're going under, boy. I'm telling you, you're going under. You're going under. You're going under. You have to fight back. So, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. God supplies all my needs. And if I'm afraid 4 o'clock in the morning, I said, I will not be afraid. I'm not afraid. I will fear no evil, for thou with me. That rod and that staff comforts me. God is always on my side. He's always here. I'm never alone. You got to say that to yourself out loud when you're getting all, you're having all the attacks. He promised me a long life. You fight back. Glory to God. Second Corinthians 1:8. Now I can start my lesson. I know all the brothers are going, Ready to play that? Ushers, lock the door. Katie, stand in front of that door. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. I came here so sleepy, so tired, that I thought, how am I ever going to do this, Lord? I went to my mother-in-law's, lucky she made me supper. She made me some, never mind. 2 Corinthians 1:8. 2 Corinthians 1:8, New Living. We think that you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Ontario. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. We thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves. Stop it! Stop it! Stop relying on yourself. When did you ever did anything good anyway? about your trouble by yourself, right? It says it there. And we learn to rely on God. Learning to rely on God, the word faith is also translated learning to trust and learning to put confidence and learning to have faith in God. That's the word rely means. If you look in the Amplifier, Vine's dictionary about faith, it means learning to rely on God. Learning to rely on God who raises the dead, and he will rescue us from this mortal danger. He will rescue us again. If he did it one time last time, he'll do it again. If that cancer comes back, he'll do it again. If you run out of money, he's going to give you money again. Yeah. If somebody left you, he'll bring somebody back. Yeah. He'll give you a dog or something, whatever it is. He's got something coming back to you. Huh? We have placed our confidence, our trust, our faith in him. He will continue to rescue us, and he will help us by praying for us. Thank God that people pray. And many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered and so many prayers for our safety. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of half of them. Huh? Why do you feel like you're not going to be rescued then if you only half of them? Because people say, oh, I got all these troubles. Sounds like a donkey. Braying at midnight in a tin barn, as Brother Higgins says, I'd rather listen to a donkey bray at midnight in a tin barn. I shouldn't hang around with Mark Davey. I'm getting to preach like him. Because as you're walking by me, his sweat was pouring on me. Slaps me in the face. I'm starting to get mad here. I'm going to hurry. I'm well hurry. So it says, Amplified 34 says, many hardships and perplexing circumstances will confront the righteous. It means that there's a lot of problems you're going to have. You're not going to know what to do. If you knew what to do in the first place, you wouldn't have had them. You would avoid them. Huh? I remember that when we used to play trucks with Eddie, we used to find a big tire, we'd go... Eddie used to have his truck goes, look at mine, chum. And sometimes you use a stick too. If you want fast, you're like Eddie. Right, Daddy? See? Say, many trials. You know, this is, you must well laugh because, you know, everybody say identical trials. Identical. The trouble that you're having is no different than somebody else. You all say, why do I have to have this problem? Huh? Why? And so it says here in 1 Peter 5:9, that whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing the same afflictions. The same trouble is happening over there. And you think, oh, I'm going to go over there. It's the same trouble over there. Everybody say, not a strange thing. 1 Peter 4:12, King James says, beloved, think it's not strange concerning the fiery trial which is trying you. It's not so strange when you know somebody else is having trouble. I used to phone my friend over in Kingston every week, every Monday. I'd phone him up because I have a hard weekend. My church wasn't responding to me. We didn't get enough money to pay the rent this week. And we got 6 people that are sick and, whatever problems going on in the church. We got 4 leaders that are mad at me. And I phone him up. He tells me, well... And he goes on and on and on, how much trouble he had. He's got so much trouble, man. Mine is simple. I said to him, man, I'm so happy I called you. See you later. Because his trial was so bigger than mine. I felt so wonderful. I felt really lifted up. Everybody say unavoidable. These troubles, you might as well understand this, they're unavoidable. If you live or hang around here, the devil is around and he's going to make sure some of it's going to come your way. 1 Thessalonians 3:3 amplifies, so that no one would be unsettled by these difficulties which we referred. For you know that they have been destined for this something unavoidable in our position. Because there are certain things that are going to happen in your life that you're not going to get around it. You're going to have the trouble. If you're in leadership of any sort, you're going to have people problems. If you're going to run business or church or whatever ministry, you're going to have financial strain in your life. Okay? If you're going to have a physical body, you might be attacked physically somewhere along the line, unless you don't have a body. If you got any kind of need, you're going to need money. Right? Yeah, you're going to need money. But there's going to be some harder times coming. Jesus said in Matthew 24:3-14, a whole pile of trouble is coming in this world. And the devil is going to do his best to make sure everybody's destroyed. Because if he can get you out of the way, less you can do for the kingdom of God. Right. And you got to make sure that you stay around and not quit. Because what he wants to do is render you harmless against what he's doing. He wants to stop you, discourage you from ever going to church. And we know a lot of people doing that. Staying away from church. Oh, church is trouble. You know? The leadership mad at me. Well, so what? Your wife is mad at you too. You going to run away from her too? Right? So you might as well enjoy the rest with us here. Some fiery trials, that's no strange thing. So the trouble is going to come. Psalm 34 says, they'll come to all of us, and you have to make sure he's going to deliver you from them. So number one, we have to understand, is trouble comes to all of us. Number one, Psalm 34:19. Trouble comes to every one of us. Number two, the devil is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. So if he's the god of this world, because he's the god of this world and you live in this world, you're going to have trouble. The only way to escape is to go. Number three, Being the will of God, you have to understand this about trouble. Being in the will of God doesn't ensure you that you'll never have trouble, or just because you got faith, you'll never have trouble. Faith is to overcome trouble. And because you belong to God, he's going to be against you. Hello, get used to it. He said, get used to it. Acts 20 and 22, 24, he says, and now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I don't know what's going to happen, but just that the Holy Spirit says in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. In other words, trouble is ahead of me, but God told me, go that way. But trouble is going to be ahead of you. He says that, but none of these things move me. Why? I'm not going to be moved by the trouble. I'm still going to go serving God. I'm still going to stay in the ministry. I'm going to do the thing that God told me to do. I know trouble is going to be there, but I'm going ahead anyway. Why? Why? He said there, but none of these things move me. Neither I count my life dear to myself. You know, he said, oh, it's my life. I can do whatever I want. Yeah, it's your life, but you know what? It belongs to God too. He said, but so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You'll never have a chance to testify about the grace of God if you don't walk in that grace to do what God's called you to do. You'll never have a testimony if you never have a faith test in your life. If you run away from every test and trial, you'll never have a testimony. Money. Okay? In other words, learn the secret of handling life's troubles. And the Bible says that we fight the good fight of faith. We have to learn how to face the faith fight. And then also, you'll have to decide prior what you will say and do. You're going to say like Paul said, you know, I believe God. I trust God. I know God's going to rescue me. Acts 27, 25. Before he went over there. Listen, he could say Acts 27, 20, 25. I mean, they were all scared. God told them, hey, you're going to go that direction. And listen, I told you in Acts chapter 8, or Acts chapter, I told you in Acts 9, Paul, listen, I told you over there. I told you. I told you in Acts chapter 9, as an inside joke. Acts chapter 9. He said, listen, Paul, you're going over there to Jerusalem and you're going to face a lot of trouble. You're going to suffer for my name's sake, but you're going to do a lot of things. If you say, no, Jesus, listen, I don't want to suffer anymore. And he went that way. But God will help you every single time. Even when you're sinking, he's going to help you. Acts 14, 25, 33 says God will help you as you're sinking. He's going to help you. With one nostril sinking down, he's going to help you. You can't take it anymore. I just felt the anointing left. Stand up. Glory to God. Adversity comes to everybody. And we have the God of all mercies. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. We lift our faith to you. We reach out to you. We come boldly to the throne of grace together. So he said, come boldly with praising and thanksgiving, Lord. We're so delighted that we can come in your presence, oh Lord. We're so happy that we can come without any kind of fear or any condemnation that you love us. You love all your children. Oh, we love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you that we are your children. Thank you that I'm a man of faith. I'm beloved. You loved me even long time ago. You loved me while I was a sinner. You love me still. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Bible said even when we were all sinners, that God loved us. He loves you. He loves you. Thank you, you love me. Woo! Thank you, Lord. He said, come boldly to my throne. Come on. Come on in. That you might find grace, help, and in time of need. Lord, we don't know what to do with certain problems. We don't know how we could stand up against it. When people are asking and saying, how could you do it? How do you stand? And Bible says in Romans that we stand in this grace. We stand in adversity by the grace of God. That you're able to hold us up, and no matter what happens in our life, you're able to help us stand strong. Because our eyes are on you, and our feet are planted in the Word of God, which anchors our life. Thank you, Lord. And nothing will move me. Devil will not move me. Nothing will separate me from the love of God. That we planted our faith, planted on the Word of God. You said, when you've done, stand. Stand. And we're going to stand. And we're going to see the answer manifest. And we're going to believe God. And the victory is around the corner. I'm not quitting. I'm not going to stop going doing what I'm doing. You called me. You called me by your grace. And you keep me by your grace. Thank you. And so, Father, we lift our troubles, our financial adversities. We lift our sickness and disease, pains, and our family situations, our husbands and wife problems, our work situation, employment, and money situations. And all the things that come against us, our fears, and we say, Father, I lift this up to you, and I'm going to stand against these things, and I'm going to overcome them by faith in the Word of God. Yeah. And so by faith, we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost that there is an answer somewhere by praying in the Spirit. Let's pray a couple of seconds, a couple of minutes. Ora ma sama. Come on, everybody, pray in the Holy Ghost.